Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
Well, let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline right now. We are joined by our college basketball analyst. He's with us every Wednesday through March Madness. Jim Herrick Jr. Joins us here on 97.3 The Fan and Ben and Woods. And Coach, I knew you worked at San Diego State. You've talked about it many times with us. I didn't know until yesterday, though, that you actually got a chance to be the interim head coach, that your name is on that list, along with Steve Fisher and Brian Dutcher and, Tim Vesey and Smokey Gaines, of all the coaches in San Diego State basketball history.
Well, thanks, Ben and Woods. That made my day. I'm glad that that my stat line is along with prestigious guys and Hall of Fame guys like Steve Fisher. Make sure you don't scroll down and look at that record, though.
you have a few wins to go to catch up to Fish.
Make sure you don't take that mouse scroll over and see what? That record for those last part of that
so
game.
So, can you tell me the story? Because this was before I must have been younger at the time. I don't remember. It was a rough season, and you took over for the last 7 games. Now, in your defense, your winning percentage was about the same as what had gone on before you took over.
That is a gentle way to put it. I will give you that. Yes. Yes. The stat line looks good. The record, not so good.
So what was the story that year?
We started out the year before a couple with Jim Brandenburg. I'd come down and I was the I was an assistant with we had a really good staff and good guys and it was a tough sell. I'll go back in the history books on it and they brought Jim Brandenburg from Wyoming after he had a great run in the NCAA tournament and all he talked about all the time is they're going to build this as a sleeping giant. They're going to build this arena. The arena is going to be great. Blah blah blah. And we have the bonds filled and football. We had Marshall Faulk with football and football starting to take off with Luganville and it just kept running into a hurdle. And I think that Jim Brandenburg left a great Wyoming program that he had built and put his name on and came down here and thought that it was going to be, they're going to give him a stadium and an arena and a practice facility and all the things that obviously all the things they have now. Because I walk in there now and I joke with some of our ex-players like Cordy Miller and Joe McNall and Chad Nelson and said, hey, boy, I tell you what, it sure wasn't like this when we were here because we were over in Peterson Gym and our offices were in a trailer and, right along Fraternity Row. And long story short is we started out and we had a bunch of injuries. We'd come off a pretty good season the year before and we had most of our team back. We had signed 2 really good San Diego players, Cordy Miller and Joe McNall, that were kind of our staples and had a good core of people. And we got hit by the injury bug. It was Coach Brandenburg's 5th year, and it kind of tailspin, and we kind of lost our team and lost our confidence, and guys went out. Cordy Miller went out with a knee sprain. Joe McNall went out. We didn't have a front line, and it went from bad to worse really quick. I think Fred Miller came in, and we had an incident that happened on the road in Colorado. The Colorado, it used to be the Colorado State Wyoming swing. Well, back in the day, forget the charter plane that Steve Fisher was able to put in place. Now we were driving vans. So we had to, every coach had a van full of guys, and it was an icy road, and we had gotten into kind of a pileup accident driving from Colorado State, and I don't know, it could have been a number of things. We got in an accident in our vans, and a couple guys got hurt and what have you. And I think Fred Miller kind of came in and said, "Okay, we've pushed this envelope as far as we could push it," and rightfully so. He always made it a point to let us know that football was king and football was a priority, and it was. And back in those days, I think all things being equal, he just kind of He made football his priority for that, and not that he diminished basketball or anything. I just think he was a football guy, and he came in and just said, "Hey, we're going to make a change. We're going to change directions." And then he pulled me aside and said, "Hey, I need someone to run the ship for the last seven games, and it's going to be you. If you don't want it, then you can leave your keys on the desk too." But you know, I'm a young 26-year-old, and I'm going, "You're going to give me the keys to what? Your car?
The whole thing.
And you prepared. You dreamed about it. That's why you got into coaching. And he said, "Hey, you know, you're going to run the ship for the last seven games and, you know, see what you got. And, you know, make sure no one gets hurt. I don't want any incidents." It was probably, you know, it was some of the funnest seven games I've ever had in my life. Now, that's not how you want to get your first head coaching job. You know, because we had a great staff and Jim Brandenburg hired me, and it was a tough incident to go through. But on the opposite side, we implemented some things and I gave the ball to Tony Clark every time down. I said, "Tony Clark, let me be crystal clear. Let me give you a crystal clear understanding. I want you shooting it every single time." When you don't shoot it, then someone else is shooting it and you're not shooting it. So shoot it every single time. And so,
And
Utah, we gave BYU a great run at BYU, and almost beat Hawaii at home, and you know, kind of started the ball rolling. And you know, long story short, I had gone to I actually petitioned for the job a little bit. That's when they were going to give it to Fred Miller wanted to give it to Jerry Tarkanian, and that didn't happen.
Controversial at the time, obviously.
A little controversial at the time, and you know, I just said, "Hey, make sure I get out of the way, because you know, our families are like the Hatfields and McCoys." So, you know,
this is so crazy, because ultimately the 2-26 was the record, and you didn't get either of the two. But I mean, Tony Clark, this is the same Tony Clark who's now the director of the Major League Baseball Players Association, who had the great baseball career. He was your guy shooting every time down the court.
Oh yeah, we got him as a transfer from Arizona. And I know this is what you didn't want to talk about this morning, but we got him for a transfer from Arizona, and he was eligible at Christmas. So at Christmas time, not only we got Joe McNall, one of the Player of the Year in San Diego, 6'9". Cordy Miller, one of the best players coming out of San Diego at Torrey Pines High School. Tony Clark transferring in. We got our guards back, Ray Bearfield, who his son played at Utah last year, was the guard that made the run with them. That was his son, so we'd always talk. And we had a really good team. We thought we, on paper, we had a really good team. And then it kind of spiraled out of control and guys got hurt and what have you. But Tony Clark and Ray Bearfield were healthy down the stretch. And I just told them, "Hey, you're shooting it every time down. We're up and down. Have fun. Let the chains off and let's go." And, you know, we still laugh about it to this day, some of us. And we almost had a couple wins. And, you know, lo and behold, I said, "Well, if you really don't care about basketball, if it's a secondary thought to you and we're a football school, hey, I'll take the job for cheap. You know, you can get me for a lemonade stand."
And now here we are today with Viejas Arena filled with 12,414 screaming fans.
Screaming fans.
Like it was last night. I mean, night and day, just under 30 years later. That was the longest digression in history, but a fun and interesting story. Bring us to today, though, and where this team is, ranked fourth in the country. They continue to pass every test, and the Mountain West is yet to put up a challenger that can keep it within, you know, after that San Jose State scare. They haven't won a game by less than 9 points in the last 44 days. You don't, college basketball, that doesn't happen where you win every game by close to double digits, Coach.
No, it doesn't, and they're on a roll right now. I am the ultimate of that before, and Dutcher's the after picture now, because we always laugh about it. And that environment, I mean, I say, like, you know, I walk in there sometimes and I go, because I was the before picture, and we were like, I look at some of the guys, you know, Tony Clark and Joe McNall, these guys, and Chad Nelson and his dad sit across the way right behind the bench, and they're big boosters, and they helped start our booster club back in 1989, and they were our first. He said, "We want to join the booster club." I said, "We don't have a booster club." They go, "Well," and they're still going to games. And I walk in there like a last night's environment, and you go, "Wow." I mean, it was impressive. And I've said to a lot of people a lot of times, unless you've been in there, it's probably the best environment west of the Mississippi. I would say outside of Lawrence, Kansas, if you've been into Outfoggy Field, it is a great college environment. And it's better than the Arizona run when Lute Olson was there. And when you bring recruits in there, and there's 12,000 screaming fans, and that's the vision I saw that, you know, everyone promised and thought they could build in the sleeping giant in San Diego State. And they got it going. Dutch has it going. And, you know, they're on a run right now. And, you know, they were, you know, San Diego State's a double, they're going to be double digit favorites the rest of the way. I mean, they beat Wyoming by 20 at their place, and they come down here, and, you know, they were, you know, something like a 20, 25-point, you know, favorite in here, and they kind of walk their way through, and, you know, Flynn has a good line, and Fegan doesn't even play well, and they beat him by 20. And, you know, I've watched the league. I've seen every team play. I don't see anyone talent-wise, and Dutch really has them guarding, playing great defense. And so, you know, hey, they're on a great run, and so – you know, all the bandwagon people that weren't on before jump on, and I think they have a real good chance this year.
We are talking to Jim Herrick Jr., our college basketball analyst here on Ben and Woods, and Coach, that was a pretty crazy scene last night there between Kansas and Kansas State. You mentioned Kansas earlier. It happens. You know, our take was generally, hey man, it happens. But what are the bigger ramifications from a brawl like that? And you know, if you were the coach, are you suspending your guys for a couple of games? How does that work?
Well, I think they're going to take the decision out of the coach's hands. I think the league's going to jump involved. The NCAA involved. I don't know, but certainly the Big 12 is going to jump involved. And you know, I just think too that there's, and it's a big rivalry game. If you don't know the rivalry between Kansas and Kansas State, there's some bitterness going on, and there's a lot of rivalry going on in there. And if you don't know the rivalry between the coaches, there's some animosity there. You know, he was at Illinois when he was at Purdue, and it's a Midwest thing, and they know each other. And you know, when he took over at Illinois and he went to Kansas, you know, there was some things where, you know, he's dead and gone. And, you know, so there's a history there with the coaches as well. I mean, and you've got to be able to control your players. So nothing like that should ever happen in college basketball. That was absolutely unbelievable. I've never seen a kid go into the stands, pick up a chair. If he takes that chair and makes a swing.
Oh, it's church.
Now
yeah.
It's criminal.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, it's that's really bad.
And yeah, and you know, they've got, you know, you always tell your team you want to represent the university. You know, we had one rule, one of our main rules we've always had is don't embarrass the university on or off the floor. That encompasses everything. You know, and you know, you set rules in place for usually your best players, and you know, you say, hey, you know, you want to act, you want to be treated like an adult, then act like an adult. You want to get treated like a kid, then I will. Then you're acting the way you're supposed to be. But that was something out of a street yard gang, you know, down in the city, down in the park somewhere, where, you know, they're just going to go after. Now, you know, I'm not going to blame anybody, but you don't ever stand over a player. I mean, I played, and you guys probably played, and you know, that's just out of respect for the game. You know, to make a block and then stand over a player, but I just thought that was as a big a black eye in our sport as we've had in a very long time.
At the same time, Coach, you don't, when you're just running out the clock and it's a 20-point game, you don't try to steal the ball and show up the other team as well. There's both sides on this brawl last night for sure.
Right, right. I agree. You don't go steal the ball when there's 20 seconds left. You're going to get beat. The game's over. You know, you take your lickings, and I used to say, hey, shake their hand. They beat you tonight. You know, when guys were kind of, you know, moping off the floor, shake their hand, look their eye, they beat you. You know, come back next time and give a good performance. You don't go steal the ball from them. And then, you know, you make the block. And it was just all unnecessary, all uncalled for. There's a respect of sportsmanship that we've always kind of agreed to of coaches and players. And I played at Pepperdine, and you just don't do that. And that was really ugly.
Talking to Jim Herrick Jr. and Coach, looking ahead, next game for San Diego State, they'll go for 21 in a row, which would be the program record, at UNLV, a team that got off to a really just terrible start this year. I mean, they look like they might have one of their worst years in a long time. They've kind of turned things around. They're now 6-1 Mountain West Conference play. I don't know if you've had a chance to catch much of them. What's going on, and how dangerous is this game coming up on Sunday for San Diego State?
My might be the most dangerous game they've got left on the road because, you know, now they're the hunted, and they're gonna have the target on their back, and that's an up and down team. I saw them beat Utah State by what, 20, 15, 20 points, and really take it to them. And they got a new coach, and they got a bunch of young guys, and they're playing free, and they're kind of loose, and you know, it's on a Sunday, and it's one of those games that I said if Brian has them sleeping just a little bit through there, that could be a wake up call. But I don't see them. You know, I think they're so talented. I think Dutcher has them so focused in. I don't see that happening. But you know, I had a great high school coach one time that we were really good. We were in the final for the CIF playoffs, and he said, "Guys, let me tell you something. If we play our worst game and they play their best game, then there might be a chance." And that's kind of way I feel like San Diego State's team is so laser focused in right now that you know, they can have a marginal game, but their defense travels and their defense will carry them through, and it'll be a tough game. Any game on the road is tough. Any win on the road is a great road win, and we'll be watching on Sunday.
And how if the Aztecs do lose, because there's still a good chance, they got a lot of games left. They got to go to New Mexico. They got to go to Nevada. If they do lose, they got to go to Boise State.
Yeah.
How much are they going to hammer them in terms of ranking, in terms of seeding? I mean, can they – one loss, is that going to still be a two seed at worst, or are they going to try to knock them down big time if they do lose?
I think if they have one loss, especially if it's on the road, in the pit's always a tough place. It depends where they lose. If they go to Wyoming and lose to Wyoming, which they've already won, that won't happen. But the three road games they have left that you just mentioned are all tough places to play. At Boise is a tough place to play. The pit's always a tough place to play. And then they've got to go to Nevada, which, you know, they're up and down too. But I think that – I don't think they'll knock them that, because the league's getting more respect. You look at their record, and they have not lost, and they've got some good wins. They got some good non-conference wins, so they're playing to stay in the West right now. I don't see them getting out of a four seed, which keeps them in the West. I don't, you know, there's a possibility they could be a one. There could be a possibility, certainly, be a two and three and four. I don't see them dropping with how many games they got left with the conference, with their schedule. I don't see them dropping below a four if they lose a game or two, and that keeps them in. Where is it?
Sacramento, probably. Yeah, Sacramento.
Yeah. Sacramento, and then it gets them to Staples, should they win the first two in the Sweet 16. So I don't think they knock them down, because they've got good strength of schedule. They've got good non-conference. And, you know, you're gonna lose a game or two. I mean, unless you're the end of the 76 Indiana Hoosiers. But they get a chance to win every game, and I don't think they'll fall that far.
Well, Coach, great stuff. I can't look forward to all of our conversations the rest of the season. And from now on, I will introduce you as the number 16 on the all-time head coaching win list at San Diego State.
Ben and Woods, you made my day today on that one.
Coach Jim Herrick, Jr., our college basketball analyst.